Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. So we've been in the middle of examining why it is that we have this strange lashon in the Mishnah that talks about Dinei Mamonos, and then suddenly comes to focus after saying Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha, comes to tell us that Gizelot V'Chavalot are B'Shlosha, which is exactly what we meant when we said Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. So yesterday we saw our first explanation of the Mishnah, Aliba de Rabbi Abohu, which was very, very clumsy. And he was saying that, look, the truth is that you do really need the same exact dinim when it comes to dinim momenes in general, meaning hodaot v'halvaot, as you would for gzelot v'chavalot. And the reason that we put it this way in the Mishnah was to make it clear that in practical terms, they're not the same. Dinei Mamonos that I'm referring to that require shlosha, meaning shlosha mumchim, only applies to gezelot v'chavalot, but it does not apply to hodaot v'halvaot. So I needed to repeat myself in this way to make it absolutely clear that we are excluding from the din of mumchim, we're excluding the din of hodaot v'halvaot. The justification for doing that yesterday was Rabbi Hanina's approach to the drisha v'chakira, to how strictly we're going to cross-examine witnesses. So he brought a raya from the Torah that actually the Torah is demanding of you the same level of cross-examination when it comes to dinei mamonos as it would in a case of trying to save a guy from the chair. But we made a takana derabanan that we cannot do that in order to allow for free flow of cash and investments so that people do not get bogged down in all types of complex cases that are going to require lawyers and the small print and everything else. So we keep it streamlined. The same argument was true for being able to recoup your money in the event that you made a loan, made an investment. And therefore, we cut out the requirement, minirabonan, for smuchim. But we left in the requirement for three dayanim. That is the way Rabbi Abohu explained the Mishnah. So today, we had a little bit of a problem with that, because if you're telling me that now the Rabbanan have actually allowed a judge without smicha to go ahead and to adjudicate a particular din, but then he should have the same status as any other judge that was legally enabled to judge a case. Now, the halacha over there is that in the event, we'll see later on, it depends precisely what type of error is made, but in the event that the judge erred in the case, he does not have to make up the difference to the party that was wronged by him, and that's part of the immunity of a judge. Now, if according to Rabbi Hanina's approach, a judge without smicha is given the legal right to judge, so then why didn't we grant him immunity? Why didn't we say that if he made a mistake, he was legally authorized to judge, and therefore we cannot hold him responsible? If we were going to hold him responsible, we shouldn't have authorized him. So therefore, asks the Gemara, Lemiata, so if that's the case, so from that point forward, ta'u, if they made a mistake, they should not, yishalmu, they should not be the ones that have to pay. No, don't you understand? If we would do that, we would make things worse. What was the reason that we were allowing a judge without smicha? Because we wanted to streamline the din process, right? Why did we want to streamline the din process? Because we wanted people to easily be able to facilitate moving around cash and getting investments. But if you're going to allow judges who don't know what they're doing to get away with whatever it is that they say, that's going to make things much worse. Then for sure people will say, listen, I don't kind of idiots are going to be that up there. I mean, the guy's going to take me to court in front of some jerk. I'm going to end up not being able to get my money back. Forget it. I don't want to be involved in this kind of legal system. So if you do that, kol shekein, you're going to make things even worse. So atanoy al delet b'fnei lovin, you're going to make it even more difficult to get money if people don't have to go to a court that's going to be responsible for making an error. Okay. So this is the end of the approach that we took yesterday, which is Rabbi Abohu's approach. The problem is that, as we pointed out, the entire approach is extremely, it's just like very, very unstreamlined, to say the least. I have to repeat the whole thing twice in order to make it clear. So it's a clumsy explanation. And therefore, the Gemara asks, if you're going to take for granted the facts of Rabbi Abo's din, then we could have made it a much more streamlined explanation. All we need to say is, what are we coming out with? We're coming out with the din that there are two halachas that apply to elements of mominus, each of which requires three, one of which requires smuchim, and that's where you're talking about gezerot chavalot, and the other one, because of the gezera, the takana, I should say, that Rabbi Chanina brought out, does not require smuchim. So then that's the easiest way to say things. Yachi, instead of saying that we're talking about stating the same din twice, dine mominus, but what do I mean by dine mominus? I mean only gzelot v'chavalot. Why don't we simply say, dine mominus is the name of the entire set, and it includes anything that has to do with money. Is it not true that dine mominus are b'shlosha? Didn't Rabbi Abu himself say that? So it would be true. Dine mominus are b'shlosha. Now, if I go ahead and I say, gezeilot v'chavalot are b'shlosha, so I say to myself, that must be adding an additional requirement. What's the additional requirement? A more strict definition of the shlosha. That's a beautiful explanation of Mishnah. Dine mominus are any shlosha. Gzeilot v'chavalot are also b'shlosha, but more strictly defined as being smuchim. Instead of this whole, repetitiveness, I mean, that makes much more sense. Ihachi, that's what he should have said. He should have said, the Mishnah is talking about two things. Tartektoni. We're talking about normal dine mominus. That's b'shlosha that are hedyotot. They are not professionals. They're just laymen without having any smicha. Then we have another set. Gzeilot v'chavalot. Oh, those require a shlosha that are mumchim, and you cannot use shlosh hedyotot. That would have made much more sense. And look, besides the clumsiness of it, it doesn't even make sense. Ask yourself why, according to Rabbi Abo, the Mishnah needed to repeat the word three twice. Dine mominus b'shlosha. Gzeilot v'chavalot b'shlosha. If, according to Rabbi Abo, we're just coming to explain what dine mominus is, all you need to say is, dine mominus, shel gzeilot v'chavalot b'shlosha. That would have been, you don't have to say the whole thing twice. Therefore, I don't like Rabbi Abo. I say, let's keep things simple, clear. Elo amar Rava, the correct explanation is that tarte katani. And yes, he's right, of course, in what he said, Rabbi Abo, but not how he's reading it into the Mishnah. There's two cases. I buy into what he's saying about Rabbi Chanina, and there's two separate dinim. One in which you require three that are hedyotot, and one which you require three that are smuchim. And that, why is it true? Because of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said that we eased the requirements in order that money should be able to flow freely. Very simple. So this is our first approach to the Mishnah. It's a polishing up of the explanation of Rabbi Abo to work better into the language, and it explains why we have the word three repeated twice. But there's a completely opposite approach. Rav Acha Bereder of Ika says, I say exactly the opposite. I say that midioraita chad nami kasha. This din that you were talking about, whether you can have one judge. The truth is that dine mominus are not b'shlosha. And in fact, we do not have this whole halacha of the Iruv Parshiot Katufkan. And it says very clearly in the Torah, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. Now that is a singular you. You should judge your fellow man with justice. Okay, that's you, one person. So obviously, it is possible to have a single justice, one justice of the peace, whatever you want to call him. And the truth is that I could have taken one person. The only reason that I need three people is because if we're allowing a justice of the peace, you can go over to Washington Square where you got all of these guys playing chess all day. They put up a little sign that says, the justice is in. 5 cents. Okay, so you've got a court. You're going to go over to one of these guys. He'll stop his chess game. These guys are very smart. He'll stop his chess game, listen to your din. That'll be 5 cents, please, and give you a psak. I mean, that's all that we need. So if you're going to choose, we're going to let a person just, okay, choose a judge. Okay, great. What, am I going to sit over here and make a court date for 3 months from now and have them postpone it on me 4 times? Get out of here. I'll take a subway down to Washington Square. Come on out. Play a game of chess. Play my five cents for your shvikronot. And we've got ourselves a court date. So therefore, they said, listen, we have to be a little bit more careful. So let's require 3 people. I don't understand. And 3 people? You can't go to Washington Square and pay 5 cents to 3 people? You can get three of these guys to stop playing chess. If you want to see beautiful chess games on Washington Square, don't forget to watch the Searching for Bobby Fischer. Now, that is an amazing kind of exactly what the Gemara is talking about. Okay, so you pay your 5 cents. So then why are you dealing with the issue by telling me I need 3? If you don't tell me I need 3 that are smuchim, how am I saving the problem of getting people who don't know what they're doing? So auto betlatam ilhavi yoshvei kranot? Nah, because look, ef shel les buchad de gomer. There's people, they end up, you know, they hear things, they learn things, they watch L.A. Law or one of these programs, and eventually they are basically, they know whatever the other justices of the peace knows. So you'll get somebody, you'll know the basic rules, you know. If you just take anybody, you may get somebody from the New York Chess Club who's basically a wild-eyed yeshiva bocher. But if you get 3 people, you're bound to get somebody who's watched some good TV programs at least, and therefore he'll know how to judge. So then we have the same question we had before. Elameata ta'u lo yishamu. If we are licensing these people to judge, so then they're kosher judges, and together with the justice of the peace, it's got a little golden thing. The state of New York allows you to judge, and therefore, if you made a mistake, you should not be responsible to pay. Then why do we say that they do have to pay? Elameata ta'u lo yishamu. Ah, because that makes things even worse. If they don't have anything to lose, then they don't have anything to gain by actually finding out about the law, right? So instead of taking advantage of all of the immense experience that they are gaining, since they have nothing to lose by saying something ridiculous, so they won't ever learn. And that will make it even worse, because then you'll have these Yoshvei Kranot who figure they could do whatever the heck they want to do. Beautiful example. I don't know how many of you people are into the Harriet series, but a beautiful example was Malik, the guy who was the Nackerman. And anytime an animal died, you know, he was the one that winched it away and sold it for dog food. And so, as the vet pointed out, this guy had a priceless opportunity to become an absolute bucky. In every, he cut apart every lung that was no good, every liver that was no good. The guy could have become a doctor that was like, whoa, major pathologist, right? But instead, he chose to make up his own list of ridiculous thing, worm in the tail, stagnation of the lungs. I can tell the moment I look. Exactly. So if you're going to let these guys that are out there at Washington Square, they'll tell you whatever they want. There's got to be a penalty for giving the wrong diagnosis. Then you learn. So therefore, it wouldn't make sense if the whole idea was to make sure that you're going to be using judges that have some fundamental knowledge of hoda'ot v'halva'ot. So we have to make it not worth their while unless they've learned something. Okay, but so we've got totally opposite approaches over here, right? In other words, according to Rava, the approach is, really, you do need to have a 3 dayanim who are all smuchim, but because of the takana of Rabbi Hanina, we made it easier, and that's how we worked it out, that you should still need 3, but you don't need smuchim. But the way that we're learning now is actually Rabbi Acha saying the opposite. Rabbi Acha saying, no, truth is, you could get away with even one dayan. The takana that we made was that you would have to have three in order that people have confidence at some level in the court, which would otherwise be kulei yoshvei karanais. And that would be the reason for the takana. Bottom line is, though, what are we saying? Whether you hold like Rava, or whether you hold of Rav Acha b'Rei de Ravika, you end up saying essentially the same thing, that you need three dayanim for different reasons, and that you don't need smuchim when it comes to the hoda'ot v'alva'ot, right? So is there any practical difference, Lamaisa, between Rava's approach and Rav Acha b'Rei de Ravika's approach in the Mishnah, even though the source of the halacha is literally a mirror image of one or the other? So my ika bein Rava, the Rav Acha b'Rei de Ravika, oh, there's a major difference. In fact, what was one of the first things that we said, the way Rava was going like Rav Acha, was that, in fact, there's no such thing as a single judge, right? That was the whole opening idea. Kulei Alma Meida, that's what Rabbi Abbo said. Kulei Alma Meida, that one judge is considered to be off, two judges are considered to be useless. But that's not what Shmuel holds. And that exactly would be the difference. The difference is, midiraisa, do you need only one? Or midiraisa, do you need three? And that makes the difference of Shmuel. Shmuel said, if two people went ahead and they were done the din, they were a bunch of chutzpan yaks, but they did it and it stands. So, dineim din, elashenikru bedin chatzuf. They're considered to be insolent. Why? Because they ignored the takana of the Chachamim that you should have three. But what they did was certainly what the Torah considered to be sufficient. And that means that Shmuel holds the exact opposite of Rabbi Abbo, which is the exact opposite of Rava. And that it's not so that two people cannot do a din. That's the nafkamina. So according to Rava, since the din of requiring three is d'oraisa, and the din that we accept non-smuchim is a kula d'rabbanan based on Rabbi Chanina, so then he couldn't possibly hold of Shmuel. He would say, what are you talking about? It's exactly the way the Rabbi Abba said. Shnayim shadanu, ein dinayim din. Nobody would say such a thing. Bashenken, according to Rav Acha b'Rei de Ravika, Shmuel's absolutely correct. You're not supposed to use two judges, but if you did, you satisfied the requirements d'oraita, and we did not passel that bidi avad. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So now we understand the beginning of the Mishnah. We have two different approaches. They end up, bottom line, essentially saying the same thing. You require three, but you don't require smuchim when it comes to odot v'halva'ot. You do require smuchim when it comes to the gzeilot v'chavalot. Okay, now the Mishnah continues on. Nezek and chatzi nezek, all those things are b'shlosha. I understand. Didn't we just say before, chavalot? Chavalot is damages. You said gzeilot v'chavalot. I'm so confused. What's this, a new thing? Damages? That is damages. Nezek einu chayv alot. Well, I'll tell you why. Look, I wanted to mention chatzi nezek. If I'm going to mention chatzi nezek, so because of that, this is the way I talk about nezek. Nezek v'chatzi nezek. In the case of a shor, that's a muad, nezek sholem. In the case of a shor, that's a tam, chatzi nezek. So I just sort of put it together. What kind of answer is that? Chatzi nezek is also chavalot. Well, that's not an answer. I'm asking you, why are you mentioning those things at all if you already said chavalot? So you tell me, well, because I want to mention chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek is also chavalot. That's not an answer. So chatzi nezek nami hainu chavalot. Ah, but wait a second. There's obviously a major difference between dine momonis, where people are paying money that they owe, and dine knasot, where people are paying penalties. Dine knasot, now that was the whole issue, that dine knasot. We're not even done dine knasot, bismanas, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, the Mishnah wanted to mention separately knas versus momon. What do you mean, knas? Where's their knas? I understand there is one man di Omar who holds, remember this from Baba Kama, that chatzi nezek is actually a fine. And that mi'ikar adin, since your shor has never caused any damage before and is part of the standard interrelationships of society in which you have a right to own a shor, you shouldn't have to pay for something that is not an unusual usage of something and that you weren't able to foresee was going to land up causing damages. So the fact that the Torah said pay anyway, but just pay half, we see that as a penalty to basically take better care. Okay, then it makes sense what you're saying, because the Mishnah would certainly want to distinguish between knas and mamon. So since it mentioned the chatzi nezek, which was knas, so it mentioned nezek again, even though nezek was included in chavalot, and it's not knas. I can understand that. Well, what about according to the Mandi Amar holds Paul Ganiska's Mamona? There is that Shita in Baba Kama, who holds on the contrary. The Torah actually considers you to be responsible for not putting things in a state of complete shmira. Except, what can we expect from a guy who's been, he's been using the shore for the past 20 years, never had any problems, and now we're going to say, well, you know, you should have had a guy watching it, it should have been locked up with lock and chain. Get out of here, man. I never had any problem with it. Okay, so because of that, again, in terms of the social contract, so Torah says, look, you are responsible, but it's understandable that the other people share the responsibility because they also want a society that allows Shvarim to be there. So basically, the Torah ends up with paying chatzi nezek. But that chatzi nezek is mamon. It's certainly not a fine, and therefore, there's no penalties. So what's your answer? That would mean that chatzi nezek and nezek are both types of chavalot. We already said chavalot, and now you have no excuse for telling me the nezek and chatzi nezek clause, which was already included under chavalot. Okay, I'll tell you. Are we agreed that the Mishnah does have to have a category for fines, right? Okay, so it has, in those fines, it has paying double for somebody who stole. It has paying four times as much, five times as much for stealing a shor or a seh, and buying, selling, or shechting it. I understand. Those are all knasot, right? Now, let's take a more general description of those types of issues. There are things that we view as being standard dinei mamonos because they are called mamon hamishtalem berosh, meaning this is money that you're going to be paying back according to what the loss was. But we also have mamon that is eino mishtalem berosh, money that's not paid back according to what the loss is. That could be more than the loss is. It could be less than the loss is. If you're going to be talking about kefa and dalet vehe, so then you're talking about mamon she'eino mishtalem berosh, which is more than the loss is. But that gives you an opening to have a set of items that includes chatzi nezek, because chatzi nezek is also mamon she'eino mishtalem berosh. The name of the set is not fines necessarily, but it's repayments that is not proportionate. It could be more, it could be less. So that set in the Mishnah requires me to mention chatzi nezek. So once I mention chatzi nezek, then you've already agreed that when I mention chatzi nezek, even if it's in the context of a different set, it makes sense to mention nezek again, because nezek and chatzi nezek is almost one statement. Okay, so now I have gzeilot v'chavalot, which includes nezek, yes, but I need to mention mamon she'eino mishtalem berosh, which includes chatzi nezek, and therefore I re-mention nezek, along with the kefel and the dalet vehe. Yes, Reb Daniel.
Can you please explain again, what is the mamon
she'eino mishtalem
mirosh?
Mamon she'eino mishtalem mirosh means non-proportionate payments. I'm not paying back what the case is about. I'm either paying back less, because I'm only chayev chatzi nezek, or I'm paying back more because I was a ganev and I have to pay back double, or because I stole a shor v'seh and I'm paying back arba v'chamisha. But that's a separate category of money that doesn't fit the crime. Either it's too much or too little. Okay, so that makes sense. If I had to repeat chatzi nezek in that context, so I already repeated nezek. So let's see that inside. Ela'ai, deide boilam is a tashlumi keifa. Vetashlumi arba v'chamisha, both of which is momot she'eno mishtalim baroshu. So because of that, I wanted to include in this set chatzi nezek, which is also momot she'eno mishtalim baroshu. Once I need to mention chatzi nezek, aide de kaboilam is a chatzi nezek tadan amin nezek. Great. Okay. Now, let's talk about what we've already actually seen. What is the makar for requiring these three dayanim and that are smuchim? Where do we get all of that from? So as we mentioned it, Tana Rabbana, v'nikrav ba'al habayit el ha'elohim. So this is talking about a shomer chinam, and it uses the word Elohim, which means a powerful authority of din. That's one. So, arekan echad. Okay, then the next pasuk says, Ad Elohim yavod var shnehem. Okay, then you could have just said, L'sham yavod shnehem. I mean, if you're telling me again Elohim, we now have two Elohims. Arekan shnayim. And then the pasuk ends with the words, and then Asher yashion Elohim. Okay, the one that the judges find to be the evildoer, and responsible, Arekan Shlosha. So we've got three Elohims. So says Rabbi Yoshia, and that gives us this halacha of three Dayanim Mumchim. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, no. The first in this list has a problem with being added to the number, because I hold that Techilot, the first mention of a deal, is telling you the concept. It's not there in order to tell you the number. I had to tell you Ad Elohim, didn't I? Just for you to know the din that you have to go to a bezdin. Now, you can't say, well, that's one. No, that's not one. That's Ad Elohim. There's no one. Now, when you mention the next one, you say to yourself, oh, I already knew you needed to go to bezdin. That's one. So now it's coming to tell me to count an Elohim. If you mention it Elohim again, Asher Yashion Elohim, that's two. But that's not three, because we do not count the first mention of a term in a list. It's only the introduction of the din, and that's called Ein Dorshin Techilot, which requires our Gavi to reappear magically and write it down. Ein Dorshin Techilot. Look at that. Unbelievable. It's probably due to just dropping one of these magic pills. So, Ein Dorshin Techilot, and therefore, you don't have three mentions. And therefore, the first one of them is a Tchila, the Ein Dorshin Techilot. I'll tell you where we know you know three. You have to start from the second mention of Elohim. Ad Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem. That's one. Arekan Echad. Asher Yashi and Elohim. That's two. That's all we got. But wait, you can't have a Beit Din that cannot reach a determination without unanimity between the Dayanim, because we know that later on the Torah talks about Lehatot, which means that you're going to be following a majority. And therefore, Ein Beit Din Shakul, Mosifina Lehemot Echad, we cannot have a situation of only a single Din, and even Din, and therefore we need three judges. So now we have two different approaches. Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonatan. What is the machlokas between them? Is this the machlokas about whether Dorshim Techilot? Namely, that Rabbi Yoshi, who counted three, he counted three because he holds that even the first mention of something is there also to be counted as a number. So that Rabbi Yoshi holds in general, we do include it, and Rabbi Yonatan holds in general, we do not. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. This may be a unique situation. It may be that everybody agrees that, in general, we do not Doresh Techilot, and Rabbi Yonatan is right. Why then does Rabbi Yoshia say that in this case we are Dorshin Techilot? Because if the only reason that it would have said in the first mention is, go to court, baby, go to court. That's all that it's saying. And it's not telling me how exactly I should constitute that court. So then it should simply say, V'nikrav bala bayit el ha-shofet, go to court. Why does it mention this unusual word of Elohim, which just happens to be the word that we're using here in the parsha another two times to define the nature of that court? Ha, ha, ha. That means there's two levels of this drasha. There's the simple meaning of it, go to court, and then there's the other meaning of it. What type of court do I mean? Elohim 1, Elohim 2, Elohim 3. And in this case, it's different, because since it says, my El Elohim, Shema Min Elamin Yana, it must be using that Elohim also for the number of Shoftim that we need. Whereas Reb Yonatan, he says, no, you can't say that it should have used Shofet, because people will use that word. Lishna de Alma Nakat, there's no need to distinguish between the two sets. People will often just use the word of Elohim, meaning get to the authorities. So Kiri Amri and Shei, Mandi Isleidina, somebody's got a problem, get to the authorities that deal with this problem. Likrev Lagabi Deyana, that makes sense to say Elohim. I'm just telling you, go to the judge. Okay, now I got another problem. If Rabbi Yoshia is saying that the Makor of the three is counting the word Elohim three times, so that means that he does not agree with Rabbi Yonatan that if I only have two Elohims, that then I would anyway say, well, you can't have an even court. So when the Torah says two, the Torah means three, because there's got to be Ein Bez Din Shakul. Are you trying to tell me that Rabbi Yoshia, who needs to find three Elohims, doesn't hold that general din, that a court has to come to a decision by taking a vote when it's not all agreed, and that you could have an even number of people? Vatanya, Rabbi Eliezer, ben Asher, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili Omer. What does it mean when it goes to such extent, when we're learning Mishpatim, what a difficult psukim, where the Torah insists the lo tiachare rabim l'ra'ot, lintot achare rabim lahatot. What is that achare rabim lahatot? So that's coming to tell me that HaTorah amra, aselach ha-beitin note, be able to be note to the rov when necessary. I'm about at that point where I'll turn off my video so that this could only be a recording, since I'm not talking to anybody anyway. There's a bunch of tape recorders apparently out there. You know what those things are? The things they used to use, those little things that turn round and round? That's what I seem to have. Well, Richie, get yourself an MP3 player. All right, good to see you all. I'm back. So,
Rabbi, you know, in Nepal, Tibet, how they pray. They have the scripture written in a top or something like that, and they just spit it. And every time the prayer goes around, you count it for having said that prayer. Very, very reasonable way of doing it.
So that's the way you'd like to do the Daf Yomi, huh?
No, Rabbi, that was a confession. Now he does Daf Yomi.
But, I mean, that would mean he's chazered it 20 million times by now. He should be the one giving the Daf Yomi. What am I doing up here? All right. Anyway, so now, if it says Beferish in Mishpatim, that you've got to make yourself a Beis Din that can go according to a majority, of course you can't have a court of two, can you? So then that would mean that I don't need the three Elohims. I only need two. How do you explain that? Ah, we do have another Shita that you forgot, didn't you? How many people did our Mishnah say are in the Beis Din HaGadol? Huh? 71, right? Except for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said Moshe is not included in that Beis Din. So we only have 70. Last I heard, 70 is actually an even number of judges, 35 and 35. And if that's the case, what happens if they split? So apparently you do not need a Beis Din Noita, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So if you don't need a Beis Din Noita, that would explain Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia follows that same Shita. No need for a Beis Din Noita. And therefore, if it wouldn't have said three, it would only have said two Elohims, and we wouldn't have been able to count that first one, then the din would have been that you only need two. Therefore, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, it's Beis Din HaGadol, is only 70 people. The Tanan, that's our Mishnah. Sanhedrin, Gedolah, Tashel, Shivim, Ve'achad. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it was only Shivim. But wait a minute. Rabbi Yehuda only said that then, that you can have an even number of judges in the Beis Din HaGadol. We know that he did not say that about other Batei Dinim. Bishar Batei Dinim, Mishamatle? And don't try to tell me, yeah, it's the same thing. It's okay. V'chitei Maloshna, maybe you'll try to tell me, yes, indeed, Rabbi Yehuda holds as a matter of course that you do not need to have a Beis Din Noita, even a Beis Din of Shalosh. That's not true. Because in the very Mishnah that we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds you need 70, we find that he disagrees when it comes to the other Batei Dinim, and he says you need an even number. So what was that case? Take a look at the case of Smichat Zekinim, with Arifat Egla Arufa. So we need 3, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you need 5. And we explained, which really explained himself, why do you need 5? Because it says, V'samchu, Lashon Rabim, that's 2. Ziknei, Lashon Rabim, that's 2. So why don't you need 4? Oh, because, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Beit Din Shakul, you can't have an even number of people. This is Rabbi Yehuda in the same Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't have an even number of people. Come on, man. So therefore, Mosifin Aleim Odechad, Harekan Chamisha. So what are you telling me? Rabbi Yoshia holds Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that this din of 70 is only the Beis Din HaGadol, but it's not meant to be a model for other Batei Dinim. So what's your problem? So Rabbi Yoshia holds like Rabbi Yehuda and takes it even a step further. Rabbi Yoshia holds it as a model. And he goes beyond what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yoshia adifa mi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda claimed there was only Sanhedrin Gedola where you don't need an odd number of dayanim. Ha'bishar batei dinim itla, he agrees. You need a Beis Din Noita. And Rabbi Yoshia holds you don't need ever bishar batei dinim nami letla, which is why he requires 3 times Elohim to tell me 3 judges, because otherwise I would say that you don't need a Beis Din Noita. So what does he do with the pasuk? What does he do with the pasuk in Mishpatim? Lintot acharei rabim latot. Now, how does he explain that? That, he says, that's talking about cases which are dinei nefashais, where over there the Torah said you cannot actually pasken a halacha based on a majority. You need to have an extra majority. So, but he never said in Dinei Mamedes, he doesn't care that you don't need that lintot, because the whole pasuk was referring to Dinei Nefashot. Really? So how does he explain? It says in the Mishnah, here we're talking about Dinei Mamedes, Shai im omrim zakai ve'echad omer chayav zakai. If 2 people say that you are innocent, meaning here we're talking about Dinei Mamedes, you have to pay. And then one says you're not. You don't have to pay, or vice versa. 2 people say you don't have to pay, and one says you do have to pay. I said it backwards. But the point is, you would go according to the rov in each case. So then, are you telling me that Mishnah is not going according to Rabbi Yoshia? Because since, according to Rabbi Yoshia, the only reason that we need the 3rd dayan is because the Torah says you need 3 dayanim. But the Torah never said to go according to the majority in Dinei Mamedes. So then, according to Rabbi Yoshia, you should need unanimity. Where does he get the idea that you go according to Rabbi Manavshak? If you're telling me I don't need a Beis Din, that is Naita, because I don't understand the pasuk to say that you should be mata to the rov in Dinei Mamedes, and at the same time you're telling me 3 times Elohim that you need 3 judges, well, what does that say to you? It says you need the unanimous ruling of 3 judges. So where does he get the idea that the Mishnah should say, and nobody ever says that's not true? Where does he get the idea that we would go according to Rove in these Dinei Mamedes? No, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yoshia could agree with that, because he would say, look, it's a Kal V'chomer. If the Torah is telling you that you can determine with an extra majority, understand, a majority of 2, so you could do Dinei Nefashos based on a majority. So my Dinei Nefashos, I mean, that's very chomer. The Torah has all these extra dinim. You need 23 and everything that we said that is special. Drisha v'chakira and so on. And nonetheless, you can go according to the Rov. So koshikin Dinei Mamedes that do not have all of these chiyuvim, you should go according to the Rov. Okay, excellent. So now we're taking for granted that you do need 3. There's an amazing different shita. Rebbe argues with this halacha, Tana Rabbanan Dinei Mamedes b'shlosha, Rebbe says you need 5. Why do you need 5? in order that you can get a majority among the three. So we can always, even if we're arguing, you can have a majority. I understand. And if we're arguing on three, you can't have a majority. What did you mean to say? Why do we need a majority of three? You can get a majority, two against one. So why does it say you need five? No. What Rebbe is saying is that when you go according to the majority, you need to have three dayanim that are paskening that majority. That's what Rebbe is saying. So the gemar din has to be b'shlosha. So therefore, if you start off with five, then I know that whatever verdict we reach, even if it was only because of a majority, I had three dayanim. But if I only start off with three, I don't have three dayanim in the verdict. Which would mean that according to Rebbe, Alma Kasovar, Talata, when the Torah says three judges, it means three judges in the psak, not three judges in the court, which means that you would need five judges. Alma Kasovar, Talata, Kiktive, Bigmar Dinaktive. Wow. Rebbe Abo went wild over it. Oh my God. That's insane. That's crazy. I mean, do you understand what you're saying? If you're telling me that when the Torah gives us the number of dayanim, it's talking about the number of dayanim that have to be there at the time of the Psak, so then that would mean that in order to have a Sanhedrin Gedola, you need 141 people. Because after all, you're going to have a majority of 70. Is that what you're saying? Does anybody say that? Kideshi Gemera Din B'Shivim Ve'achad? Or Sanhedrin Katana has to have 45, because you have to have 23 on the side that's paskening, and then you have to have the 22 that they're against. So that means you need a minimum of 45 people. I never heard anybody say that you need 140-some people or 45 people in a Sanhedrin Ketana. The Torah wasn't telling me how many people need to be involved in issuing the Psak Halacha. The Torah was telling you how many people need to be in the court. That can't be true. Now, why don't we say this? Ella, the Torah said, Beferish, Asvali Shivimish, gather 70 men, gather to the courtroom. Mishat Asifa Shivim. There should be 70 people in the courtroom. The same thing is true about the drosha of Shaftu Eida, Vitzilu Eida. That's the courtroom, the Eida that's in the courtroom. Mishat Shvitata Eida. That's why they're now deliberating in the courtroom. Would you get the idea that you need those numbers of people at the time of the verdict? So then the same thing would be true over here. Nikrav ba'alabayit el Elohim. You go to the courtroom with three judges in it. Mishat kriva, not mishat psak halacha. So you are misrepresenting, Rebbe. That makes no sense at all what you said. It's outrageous. I'll tell you. High new time in a Rebbe. You know where Rebbe gets that din from? He gets it from the words, Asher Yarshiun Elohim. It says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yishalim Shnai. And that is a Lashon Rabbim. Yarshiun. Yarshiun means he's more than one. If it was only one judge, even the word Elohim would have taken a singular. And it says also Elohim at the beginning. Ada Elohim Yavod Var Shneihem. Then that means we've got a double Elohim at the beginning and a double Elohim at the end, and that equals four. So Malamata Shnaim, Avlamala Shnaim, and now since we need a Bezdin Noteh, Ein Beitin Shakul, Rebbe is simply extending our din of Bezdin Shakul, except that he's being Medayik the Lashon, and it should equal five, not three. Mosif Haleim Odechad Harekan Chamishia, and that is what Rebbe is saying. And how do the Rabbanan argue? The Rabbanan say, because it doesn't really say Yarshiun. The pronunciation is Yarshiun. But look carefully at the writing. And what do you see? The Vav is left out, Yarshian, which means it's not really a proper Lashon Rabbi. In which case, the Torah is telling us, we're talking about Elohim even as a singular. And therefore, there's no basis to insist that Elohim is two and Elohim is two equals four, which equals five, because of Ein Beis Din Shakul. So now we have a completely different approach, and we have the understanding of our Mishnah in terms of the set of Dine Momenes, the difference between Dine Momenes in terms of how Va'ot and Gizelot V'Chavalot, based on either a takana of Rabbi Hanina of making things easier, or just the opposite, a takana making things more difficult, because D'oraita, you could have gotten away with even less, and therefore people would lose confidence in the court system if Washington Square is where it's at. And that was our first approach. Then we had an understanding of the nature of Momen HaMishtalim Barosh, or Momen She'enu Mishtalim Barosh, which gave us a different set that demanded our mentioning Chatzi Nezek, which allowed us to already mention Nezek Shalem as its own set. And then we got into the Makor of the Din. Where do we know these halachas of three Dayanim? Is there a Din of requiring Bez Din Neite? And is there a Shita of Rebbe that is Derish, the Pasuk to tell me, with the same basis of Bez Din Neite and the same words, ending up with five Dayanim instead of three? Excellent. So we're moving ahead over here, starting to get a fuller idea of what is meant by the process of Din and Sanhedrin and Yisrael